On your back, with your legs long, and place your arms just somewhere to either side of your trunk, of your pelvis. There are parts of your pelvis, of course, that are lying on the floor and maybe feels more like buttocks rather than pelvis. Pelvis is such a, is it the bone? Is it all the flesh around it as well? But buttocks, maybe somewhere a little bit above the buttocks and in the middle is the tailbone, the sacrum. And in general, it's that part that is lying on the floor below the waist, because you'll notice that the waist is lifted. There's some space for a hand to go under, or even a little creature. And if you check that space, the little tunnel can be entered from the right side, from the waist, between your arm and your waist. Or it could be entered from the left, between the left arm and your waist. And one entry, so the left side could be larger gap, or the right side. And you can even check it with your hand. And the space isn't just at the waist. Sometimes the space can go up higher above the waist where we have ribs, or even a little bit lower than the waist, already going down in the direction of the sacrum or the buttocks. But somewhere below this space, which is more or less at the waist, there'll be contact with some part, the hips, the pelvis, the buttocks. And it can be different, just like the spaces can be different left and right. The contact can be different left and right, fuller or stronger. And above that space of the lower back or the waist, the back of the rib cage touches. Again, possibly differently left and right. And you can feel free to explore a little bit more about the space. So if you explore the space, it tells you a bit more about the places that actually touch. And there can be, again, greater pressure or more contact in the left or on the right. And sometimes it's not quite so simple to tell. I mean, usually that's a part that we call the back. Even the idea that there are ribs there is a bit peculiar for some people. So somehow this middle back could rest differently on the floor, left and right. And then the back of each shoulder, which may or may not be felt distinctly. Shoulder for you might be not what's behind, but what's on top as you stand, or what's in front as you look at yourself. Or these words are specific but vague at the same time. So somewhere kind of above the bra strap on the left and on the right, there may be contact or pressure. And then again, above the shoulders, above the upper back, is the space between the neck and the floor. You can imagine perhaps how large or small a towel you could roll in place behind, or even touch with your hand to find what is that space that is below your skull, because clearly your skull is resting on the floor, and the upper back. And then your head itself has some surface area that touches. You could feel that you're rolled, your head is rolled a bit more to the left or to the right. And bend your knees, put your feet on the floor, your knees pointing to the ceiling, and just notice whether, of course, the space behind the lower back has changed, and that is maybe quite obvious, but has the space behind your neck changed? And you're welcome to stretch out your legs again, to stretch them and then bend them, to track a number of times what happens to the space behind your waist in the lower back. And the space can diminish in a way that you feel more places touching, more ribs coming back down, more places of the pelvis touching. And whether the space in the back of your neck or behind the back of your neck gets larger or smaller. Good. And then stay with your knees bent and begin to rock your pelvis. So push with your feet a little bit. It's a couple of directions. You push a little bit upward, but as you push upward, you notice that you roll the back of your pelvis in such a way that perhaps the waist goes backward, not because you're pushing it backward, but in the pushing upward, it just so happens that it goes backward as well. And the very lowest part of your tailbone lifts a bit from the floor. And then rock your pelvis the other way, as if you wanted to bring the roll further downward towards the tailbone. And notice whether the line, as you go from pushing upward, and that the space behind your lower back decreases, gets smaller, flatter, and then perhaps larger as you roll downward towards the lowest part that you can imagine, without straining through your legs or through your feet or through your toes, breathing. And is it a line? Is it a straight line that goes, straight line of contact that you roll over? Or do you swerve a bit more to the left, more to the right? It's highly, highly usual for us to push more with one foot or pull more with one foot, and that, of course, makes the path of the contact different. Note if your head is somehow, this is something just with your pelvis and your lower back, or whether the push up and the pull down, begin to do something with your head. Perhaps there's a line also of rolling. Does your head just get pushed up and pulled down, or does it roll a little bit along the back of the skull? How do you know if your head rolls back? Well, maybe the space in the back of your neck, between the back of your neck and the floor, gets a little bit flatter and smaller when you pull downward, and gets bigger again when you push upward, or the chin goes down towards the chest and then upward. And continue just a few more times, but see if you can work less. You work more lightly. That's still, it's not that you have to push upward and pull downward to the maximum. Just whatever is easy and light. And it is very likely that it will improve by itself and you won't have to increase that much the effort. Okay, and then leave that, stretch out your legs, and as you rest, just check in whether any of the contacts have changed in the pelvis. It's a bit different. What does that mean, different? Well, it takes a while to feel
to feel differences. In the beginning, it may seem like, well, maybe there's something different, but I'm not really sure. Maybe the space is lesser or more places touch. Maybe even the shoulders sink back a little bit more than at the very beginning. And bend your knees again. Put your feet standing. And find a way of rocking your pelvis a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right so that you have now a line of pressure or contact that goes from left to right. So one side of the pelvis goes towards the floor and the other side lifts. And just notice whether, how do you do this? Do you push a little bit with a foot? And if so, which foot? And feel free to push with the foot. Or do you tilt your legs? You could certainly transfer the contact from left to the right just by tilting your knees so that the two knees go to the left, the two knees go to the right, and then maybe you push less, or you can still push a little bit. You can use some of both. And as your pelvis rolls from left and right, what do you feel through your chest, that's the between the pelvis and the head? Feel that even along the back above the waist, there's a rolling across from left to right. And depending how far you tilt your pelvis and how far you tilt your knees, you might even feel that one shoulder blade gets a little lighter on the floor and the other one doesn't quite press, but one gets lighter. And then how about your head? Is it just above, or does it somehow participate in this going from side to side? And of course, your nose can go opposite the knees. So when the knees and the pelvis go in one direction, the head rolls opposite, which takes the nose. Or you can coordinate it so that the knees and the nose go together in the same direction. And both are possible. One might be more familiar, or one might be easier, in which case you'd feel that you can breathe more lightly, or just that you could keep going longer. Right? You don't have to know which is better, but you can feel which you could continue for a longer period of time. Good. And leave that. Stretch out your legs. Did that in any way affect how the left and the right sides lie on the floor? Sometimes a few simple movements can already allow the side that wasn't lying so well or comfortably to lie better. Bend your knees and bring your right leg over your left one so that your right knee, right, you cross the right knee over the left one. And in this position like this, with just the one foot, begin to bring your pelvis so that you push a little bit upward and the pelvis rocks. Let me give you something under your foot so you don't slip. There you go.
And that's it, cross the right over the left. And rocks, you press a little bit, but not left and right, upward and down. It's not really lifting your pelvis. It's the same thing that you did before. It's like drawing a straight line downward towards the tailbone and then upward towards the upper part of the pelvis. So it's a push up through the spine, but at the same time, a pull downward, but at the same time, rolls your pelvis up towards the lower back and down towards the... And don't work hard, just because you have one leg, it's an asymmetrical push. So it's interesting. What makes this difficult? And where is it difficult? Where is it difficult to think about how to do it, how to approach it? Can you go lightly but more quickly? Sometimes lighter and quicker. You don't work so hard because everything has to move more quickly, so there has to be a greater agility. And is it easier to push upward or to pull downward? Is there a tendency to be more oriented or make it easier in one direction or the other? Okay, leave that. Uncross your legs, lengthen them out. And bend your knees, and this time cross your left leg, your left knee over the right knee, and continue again, pushing upward and pulling downward. Working as little as is needed just to fulfill the words. It doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be large. Just has to be a beginning. Just has to be a beginning. And if you found, when you had your legs crossed the other way, that it was easier to push upward than to pull downward, then give more attention to the part that's more difficult. And how can you roll your pelvis so that there's a line that goes down towards the tailbone? And that line, is it in the middle, or because you have one leg, is it not quite in the middle? So wherever it is, just locate it. You still feel like it pushes upward through the middle of you until it reaches the head. And does your head go upward when the pelvis goes upward? Does the chin pull downward as the pubic bone goes downward, as if the two are related through the spine? And then make the movement even lighter and more quick. That's, yeah. So the belly stays soft. And remember that there's the very, very bottom of the tailbone, and that is what, remembering it, will help you go downward as well as upward. Great. Uncross your legs, lengthen them out. And check again if there are parts that are settling backward more easily, more fully. If somehow the chest and the belly breathe more fully as well, moving and talking about the pelvis and the head, but the large part that's between the pelvis and the head that finds a way to be softened and
move along so that those two large bony parts can be coordinated. Somehow the brain sorts out where in the front of the chest or on the breastbone, which is between the breasts from the base of the throat down to the really upper part of the soft belly, breastbone and all the ribs in the front, the sides, the back, underneath the shoulder blades. That can become softer, so the pelvis has a lighter movement and the head an easier coordination. And bend your knees again. And again, take your pelvis to the right and to the left. One's the right side, rolling to the right, rolling to the left in a line that goes across. And just notice whether it's different since you pushed upward and downward on one leg. Different in what way? Could be lighter, could be in quality. You might feel how the ribs on one side lift and the whole widest part of the ribs by the breasts rolls. You might feel more clearly up to the shoulders, or your head may go more lightly. And then whichever way your nose is going, if the nose is going with the knees, then take it opposite the knees. If the nose is going opposite the knees, then take it with the knees. So that really your head and pelvis can have these different ways of being coordinated together. And one will continue to feel more familiar, if not even easier than the other. Good. And then again, take the nose and the knees opposite each other, so the head and the pelvis go opposite. And pause in the middle. Don't stretch out your legs, just pause in the middle. And a few times with the 2 feet on the ground, push upward and pull downward, rolling now over this line that's in the middle, the vertical line, two lines, right? We have a horizontal line a moment ago and now vertical. And note if this direction, this dimension, is also somehow lighter. The pelvis can find a way of going downward in relation to the legs. If the space between the back of yourself in the waist or in the neck is easier to track. And then leave that, stretch out your legs, and rest. Perhaps you're the belly below the waist, below the belly button, and down towards the groins and the pubic bone. It feels a little bit lighter and fuller as your breath goes in and goes out. So many possible or even probable places where one might feel a difference. Might be more that you feel, you might be able to put into words, you might not be able to be put into words. It's really not possible to know everything that a person can begin to experience when just making these simple movements. So bend your knees again and we had on the pelvis a line that you drew by pulling downward and pushing upwards, a line that you rolled over on your pelvis, more or less somewhere in the middle. And then you had another line when the knees and the pelvis tilted left and right. So you could say that in a way they're like, it's like a cross with four points. And softly begin to connect those four points in with a circle. So you can start with any place along that circle. Take yourself along the circle and do it lightly and softly, because there will be parts where that will flow, right? That will flow very smoothly, and parts that if you really pay attention, you'll actually find that it's not quite so circular, that maybe you draw more of a straight line between two of the points. And you might find that the one part of that circle, either the lower part, the lower half, or the upper half, isn't quite so clear against the floor. So try to find, imagine that you actually want the circle to really, where is the circle? Well, that you want to touch parts of yourself to the floor in a circle. So you can imagine that you have a circle on you and you want to really touch those parts of the circle to the floor. Or you can imagine that there's a circle on the floor and you want to touch parts of yourself to the circle on the floor. And at times, of course, you'll be on the right, and at times you'll be downward, and at times you'll be on the left. And when you're on the floor, on the upper half of the circle, there's also some way in which you're pushing up. So we have backward and upward at the same time. And make it now a little bit quicker. It might not be so precise or exact, but that's it. It'll show you where things are not quite yet clear when you go quickly. And leave it, stretch out your legs. And rest. Bend your knees again and establish in your thinking, well, you have the circle. First of all, where are the points? There's a point on the left, a point on the right, a point downward, which is somewhere on the tailbone. Where's the upper point? And go in the other direction. Make a circle in the other direction now. How do you use your knees, your legs, and your feet now? Something similar to what you did when you went left and right, but something different, because it's not just left and right. So it's up and it's left and it's down and it's sometimes pushing, sometimes pulling. So find how you want to use them. Maybe the right foot does something a little bit different than the left, the right knee at any given moment does something different. And of course it's not just the pelvis, so the ribs, the breastbone, the middle back, the upper back, and even your head. So So if you don't hold your neck stiff and you don't hold your head, something will happen. Somehow your head will be doing something. Maybe for the moment it's not identifiable. Is it a circle? Is it not a circle? Or does it just go left and right? But in any case, go a little faster. And so for now, you don't do anything special with the head. You just notice what it does up at the top of all this motion and possibly commotion. Leave it, stretch out your legs. Stay with your legs long and put them together so that the two long legs are touching and the feet or the heels or the insides of the ankles are touching. And in this position, see if you can rock your pelvis so that you take, how does it mean to rock the pelvis? You can't push with the feet, but maybe there's a way to use the feet. Can you bend at the ankles so that the toes come upward from the ankles, not just the toes, but the whole foot? And can that bring your belt line closer to the floor, as well as push a little bit upward through the spine and maybe make it all the way to your head? It's a long movement from the feet to the head, from the head to the feet. Of course, the toes point downward when you rock towards the tailbone. And the spine somehow through the middle, going up and down. Good. And you can you go a little faster to see if what happens. Maybe it's actually even clearer when it's faster. The body kind of organizes it by itself. That's lovely. And the whole chest goes up and down between the shoulder blades. Right, the hands stay where they are. And leave that. Continue to rest. Your legs don't have to be held together. What happens during the rests where you're not given any instruction about what to pay attention to? Do you find that you listen internally? What do we listen for? We listen for sensations, for the contact with the floor is one set of sensations. Breath is another set of sensations. Or does the attention tend to go outside of the physical experience, outside of the body, or into the body? Just notice which it is. And of course, the more awareness through movement we do, the more paths we find of listening internally. It's a new field of new field of study. So bring your legs together again, including the ankles or the heels. That's it. And now reestablish in your thought, in your image, the lower point on the tailbone, the upper point someplace at the upper part of the pelvis, and left and right points in the circle that would go around. And how can you go around the circle of your pelvis? Maybe it'll be a smaller circle that you have than you had before, but feel free to use your feet. What do the feet have to know about a circle in order to be able to make it possible for you to go around with the pelvis in the circle? That's it. And if the heels actually don't slide on the mat, but more or less stay on the same spot, then it's quite extraordinary how much the movement of the whole foot around the left heel and around the right heel can really carry the pelvis and continue upward through into the chest and breastbone and even into the head. Yeah, and just let the head do what it wants. And of course, you can change direction of the circle. And the more, where would you follow the circle now? Is it possible that if the feet really make a clear circle, the toes are very precise about the circle they make, that clarity will go through into the pelvis and there can be a clear movement in the pelvis? And any part of the circle that on the back of your pelvis you feel isn't clear, see if you can clarify it a bit more with the feet, or go faster a few times and then slow down again. Okay, and leave it again. Let your legs just rest and fall as they do, and observe if even the shoulders are beginning to lie differently on the floor. Bend your knees again. Your feet are standing. And rock up and down as you did at the very beginning. And notice if it's become clearer and simpler. As if it's almost doing itself in the way the head follows, or in the way that the down and the up are more equal. And stay like this with the knees bent, but pause a moment and go a little bit left and right. And if you're tilting your knees, note whether you're tilting not just more easily, but maybe even further. The knees are going closer to the floor and you go quite far to the right, even beyond being on the back, beyond the edges of the circle. And that's fine. Stay with your knees to the ceiling and make a circle as before in one or the other direction. So with the four points, And you can use the tilting of the knees, you can use the pressing of one foot and the other foot. And if you use more and more the tilting, but more and more the pressing of one leg and then the other, then perhaps you'll notice that sometimes one leg is more the active one and the other one just follows. And the two legs do something different at all the different moments. Sometimes, of course, when you start, you change direction. Sometimes, of course, when you start observing and thinking, it's easy to keep the head still, as if the thinking brain can only work if the head isn't moving. A lesson learned early in childhood, you know, it's like, stop fidgeting. Stop and think, as if really stopping and thinking. It's like you have to stop to think. Even we have those phrases. You need to stop to think. Oh, I need to think. I don't know if I need to stop to think. Okay, leave it. Stretch out your legs. Maybe it's actually better to think when you're moving. I don't know. Only we can tell. Bend your knees and cross one knee across the other one, whichever one you'd like. Left one, right one, first, as you wish. And just a few times, find out how is it now. To rock the pelvis, a little downward and upward. And whether even this, with the legs crossed and only having one foot to follow, whether this has become any clearer or easier. And go quickly. Just plop, plop. Just plop, plop. That's it. And notice the coordination of the head there. When you don't have time to think about what it should be, it has to become what it needs to be. Great. Leave that. Uncross your legs. And cross the other leg. And on this side, maybe go quick first, rather than slow first. And why is it that when we go quickly, sometimes when we go quickly, the thing happens by itself very nicely. So slow it down until it can be so nice, even if you go slowly. That's it. So that the head isn't thought about. The head is just participates as a big physical object. Great. And uncross your legs and stretch them out and rest again. Really marvelous, this idea of a line up and down and a line across and then connecting to a circle. And if we don't insist on pushing and being very precise, but just question all the time, is that really a circle? Is that really a circle? Is that not a circle? What if I go in the other direction? Then the brain itself figures out which muscles to inhibit, to tell them to stop working, so it's possible to follow the circle. So bend your knees, and this time your knees are going to go one, the left one to a little to the left, the right one to the right, so that the soles of your feet can touch together, even if just a little bit. One might be different than the other. And a few times like this, rock yourself a little bit up and down so that the line, the vertical line, is established, and it's the vertical line of a push and a pull, and another vertical line of the different contacts changing. The line of pressure on the head, on the back of the pelvis, maybe along the back. That's it. And pause a moment, and make a line left and right. A line left and right. Somehow easily, lightly, your feet are in such a way that they can't really push, so the left and right comes from something else. And see that the knees can stay apart, and see what your head is doing. Does it go opposite the pelvis? breathing can be easy, if one shoulder lifts a little bit from the floor. That's it. Good. And stop in the middle. Slowly stretch your legs. Rest again. Bend your knees, put them like that again with the soles of the feet together and the knees apart from each other. And in your thinking first, imagine the circle that will connect the lowest point and the point on the right and the highest point and the point on the left. And slowly, slowly, gently, it's not important. It should not feel as though it's a must or important, but just it's a query. It's not a challenge. Like, can you do this? It's more like, what would it be like? Because this different placement of the legs can make it feel as though it's a completely new thing. Huh? Maybe there'll be places where you end up using the belly muscles. Maybe there'll be places where you end up using the back muscles, but that's right. And if you can keep the legs, the knees apart of each other, that's really great. But feel, what are the difficult points? Which are the difficult points? And you can change direction, of course. And maybe different parts of the circle become clear, and different parts become difficult when you, and just notice if you're pressing now with your hands the floor, if your chest can still stay easy, if the tongue in your mouth is soft. So you can be, have continued interest, but without a determination that makes you stiffen. And leave it gently, somehow bring your feet, the knees together, and then stretch out your legs and just rest. And one more time, put your soles of your feet together and the knees out to the side. And take the circle in whichever direction you find clearer. And find, what are your, can you give attention to your knees? Can you give attention to your knees? Is it possible for the distance between them to stay wide and open? And then can you change the attention so it's in the back of your pelvis again? Or the whole pelvis, but the contact in particular? And then can you change your attention so it's your head and nose? The nose is just being a marker for the head. And you can change direction of the circle. And it can be quite curious that depending on where you put your attention, the nose and the head, that your head might be able to follow more clearly. And when your head follows more clearly, does that make it any lighter or easier through your belly, through your hip joints, through your pelvis? Sometimes when we end up following so many parts of ourselves simultaneously, We're just happy that we can coordinate them, and it's just like, I don't know if anything feels lighter. Good. Leave that, please. Stretch out your legs and rest. So as we work with this way of moving and paying attention to ourselves, we discover that improvement comes not just from being able to do movement, but from being able to pay attention to many different parts and their relation to each other. So it's funny, it's like movement doesn't just improve from movement, movement improves from attention. So what are we developing, movement or attention? That could be said of really any complicated human endeavor. When you're cooking something very fine, are you improving your cooking or your ability to pay attention and note exactly the moment when you need to add a little bit more of this and turn down the heat? And or in playing music, certainly, it's the attention, it's the hearing that lets you adjust. So we develop the listening to ourselves slowly. Sometimes it seems almost funny how crude it is. Sometimes it's very lovely how coordinated it is. And you can be sure that the more complicated the situation, the more complex, the less likely that it'll feel fluid and smooth. So bend your knees and just put the feet on the floor. Let's go back to the very original, the simplest perhaps, where your feet are on the floor and with a little bit of space between them, maybe something underneath so that they do not slide. And just rock a little bit upward and downward. And in these simple circumstances, do you feel a bit lighter, more elegant, more connected? As if somehow the tailbone and the chin, or the tailbone and the nose and the breastbone, they're just, you don't have to think them into harmony. They just somehow are. Mm-hmm. And leave that and rock a little bit left and right. And in this situation of going, taking the pelvis and rolling it to the left with the knees and to the right, of course you find that the pelvis rolls more easily and the knees go to the floor in the direction of the floor more easily. That's thank you to the chest. Thank you to the shoulders. Thank you to the ribs, the spine between the shoulder blades. And then leave that, and with the feet standing as they are, connect the four points and go around the circle in whichever direction you'd like. And as it is partly your conscious thinking and your conscious listening to yourself, but partly the parts of the brain you can change direction, of which we have really no, we can't command it consciously, but it is the part that in the end sorts out which muscles to put into action and which muscles to let go and how to coordinate the directions. So you might find that as your conscious mind is busy with the circle and maybe listening to yourself, there are parts now along that circle that with the two feet on the floor have become clear. Out of all those things in these other peculiar positions that were hard to do, it's now easier in the easy position. So let it be, and just like this, with the knees bent, bring your knees and feet together so that, and see how it would be to rock up and down a few times with the feet together. And leave that, and left and right. You can take the knees with you.
and then leave them in the middle. And with the feet and the knees together, make a circle around the pelvis. I don't know if you'll find the same ease that you had just moments ago when the feet were apart. And make it really a circle and not an oval. So it's much easier in this situation for some people to go quite a lot left and right, especially if you take the knees. Yeah, but it's really a circle around the back. That's it. Softly and lightly. So remember that your head you can think if the head is free. You can pay attention. That's it. Turn the other way. And so it's a slightly more complicated situation again. Now leave it, put your feet apart, your knees apart, and just make a few very light circles in one direction and the other. How is it when the hip joints are free again, when the knees can move independently from each other? Much better to have two legs than be a mermaid. Change direction. And then pause, and just like at the very beginning, just a little bit up and down, very lightly and quickly, just a little bit up and down. That's it. Almost just like a pudding that's rocking. Good. And stretch out your legs. And what do you appreciate about how you sense yourself now as compared to the start? So there are a number of almost measurable things that can change the spaces. You might have less space now between the small of your back, on both sides or on the left or on the right. But in the end, it's what we appreciate that matters to us. And sometimes it's specific sensations, and sometimes it's just the sense of return to oneself. All that paying attention to our own movements, refining them, softening the effort, resting. It just simply brings us into a more self-attentive and self-reflective state, of which we have not so much usually during the day. And yet when we return like this to ourselves, it can influence how the rest of the day goes, or how sleep happens. How we hear things, see things. So do begin to come to roll to one side and eventually sit, stand, but take your time.